Canada's Salt and Light Catholic Media Foundation and Salt and Light Television, Canada's first Catholic television network, will begin celebrations of its 10th anniversary this month. Founded in the days and months following World Youth Day in 2002, Salt and Light is one of the world's premier Catholic media outlets. Father Thomas Rosica, the founder and CEO of Salt and Light, spoke with Christopher Wells about the work of the past 10 years.
10 years ago, we were winding down World Youth Day 2002, which had taken place in July of 2002. And I can still remember the day in November of 2002. It was mid-November, and I was asked to go to a meeting with the Galliano family, the family of Gaetano Galliano, an Italian entrepreneur, a great businessman. At the time, he was 85 years old. I went to this meeting, and he said, "Our family has a dream that we want to establish a Catholic television network in Canada. The church hasn't shown much interest. We've tried many times." So I listened, and I was wondering what this had to do with me. And he said, "We've been watching you with World Youth Day and what happened with World Youth Day, which certainly was a great event in our country, and we want you to take it and run with it." I smiled, politely demurred, and said, "I've done my military service for the church with World Youth Day. Thank you very much." The pressure was then turned up because a couple days later, I found myself in Rome. We were on our way to Rome to meet with Pope John Paul II for the review of World Youth Day. And in the course of the conversation at the table in the papal apartment, I can still remember the Holy Father and Bishop Jivic asking, "So what have they asked you to do now?" So I said, "Well, it's interesting. I want to go back and teach at the university. I was at the university before. I teach scripture. I have no training in television, technology, or anything like that." And I said, "This group wants me to do a television network," kind of laughing and chuckling. And I remember the Holy Father saying, "Televisione Cattolica." He said, "You're living in a mission country." He said, "Take the television." I didn't take that very positively. I said, "Oh my God, that's all we need." Well, 10 years later, we built on the momentum of World Youth Day. I always say that the World Youth Day was the wind under our wings. And having had to do a lot with television through the World Youth Day, with the media, with the appearances and whatever, I said, "Let's use this as a teaching opportunity." And I wanted also to incorporate young people into the mission. Cardinal Stafford has told me several times that the most beautiful legacy of any of the World Youth Days since 1985 has been the establishment of Salt and Light Television. I'm the only priest on staff. I have 30 young adults that are with me from all over this country and different parts of the world. We're broadcasting now in English, in French, in Italian, in Cantonese, and in Mandarin. Our headquarters for the time being is here in Toronto, although we're across the country and certainly we're used on the internet across the world. So it's become a really beautiful instrument of the new evangelization. When you look back, you know, I smile now and think, "Oh my God, what have we become?" It was certainly a great privilege for me this past October, because for the second time I was asked to be the media attaché for the Synod of Bishops. And as I sat in the hall, in the aula, and had to record everything and then transmit the information and do the press briefings, I realized that so much of what the bishops were speaking about in terms of new evangelization, we've been able to do these past 10 years, and we've only just begun.
That's an incredible story, Father. Can you tell us, over the past 10 years, as you said, it's certainly grown, I imagine, far more than you could have possibly envisioned, but what are some of the highlights from the past 10 years for you?
Certainly some of the highlights have been the privilege of working with the Holy See, working with the Vatican, all the different entities of communication there. Father Lombardi has been a tremendous support. We work closely with GTV, with Centro Televisivo Vaticano, with Vatican Radio, of course, with you and your colleagues, with L'Osservatore Romano, with the BIS, with all the different components. So what we're doing is plugging in to the Universal Church. One of the problems of our country here is the vastness, and the vastness creates solitudes and distances. And so over and over again, the comments we receive, even yesterday again, "Thank you for bringing the Pope to us. Thank you for bringing the images of the World Church to us." We've taken the show on the road, and we've covered every major ecclesial event since we started. You know, we have a video that's going to be released tonight at our anniversary, a very short thing, and the young people did it this past week in the office, and it's really quite remarkable because it starts off by saying, "One Lord, one Church, one faith, two popes. How many World Youth Days? How many beatifications? How many canonizations did we cover? Plus all of the regional and national things. So we've not only broadcast locally. In fact, most of our stuff is offshore, off-site here. And today we have crews in Montreal and in Edmonton filming different things, plus our crew in Toronto, which will be televising the big concert tonight. So there's the universal dimension, which has been so necessary, the stories of hope and testimony. And one of the big challenges we wanted to avoid and to really embrace and also to avoid is to become sectarian and to become so funneled and channeled in on ourselves that we would forget the bigger picture. In many cases, religious broadcasting, rather than inspiring people and giving them hope, is a mechanism for depression, and it causes people to become angry and isolated. And I said, we cannot do that. And one of the best ways to avoid that is by using young adults in the vanguard, because they have a different way of looking at things and communicating the message of the church. And that was the case in point at the Synod. We were allowed to be on the inside of the Synod in a remarkable way, and Sebastian Gomes and Charles Bourgeois, two young people, did 22 episodes from the Synod of Bishops this past October. They were broadcast in our country, but then they were used right across the world to break open the story of the Synod. And so those are the kind of things we do. It's using the new means and to tell the old story in new ways. We produced, I think, 32 documentaries, some of them in 5 and 6 languages. We specialize in the stories of the new saints and blesseds. We had a magnificent movie released in October on the life of Saint Kateri Tekakwitha, which has been very, very warmly received around the world, especially by indigenous peoples and First Nations. Our patron saint of the network is Saint Gianna Barreta Molla, wonderful Italian pediatrician, a woman, a mother, a laywoman, and her canonization was the last canonization of Blessed John Paul II. And she represents everything we want to be about the culture of life.
And, Father, you're certainly at the forefront of the new evangelization. You've talked about how you're broadcasting throughout the world. You have an internet presence. You're reaching out to all sorts of people and getting the stories and the story out there. What do you foresee for the future of Salt and Light, and how are you going to be continuing to promote the new evangelization that both John Paul and Benedict have spoken so much about?
Well, we have a very new initiative which we'll be launching in the new year. In fact, we made the final decision on it 2 days ago. We have in Canada, in the city of Windsor, about 4 hours from Toronto, it's right on the border of the United States, we have a Catholic university called Assumption University. It was the oldest Catholic university in English Canada. It later became the University of Windsor, which now has 17,000 students, but it's remained as a Catholic college at the heart of it. And the Catholic college has been without a mission and a mandate, yet the buildings are there, the campus, the ability to grant degrees and whatever. So my religious community asked me 1 year ago to assume, in addition to Salt and Light, to become president of Assumption University. I said to myself, Lord, what else? What do we do to breathe life into this university? So the first thing I did last year was to create at this university the Department of the New Evangelization, even before the Synod mandated that every Catholic university should have one. We reactivated the chaplaincy of the university, where we have about 800 students now participating on a weekly basis. And in the next year, it'll take about 14 months, we will be moving the headquarters of Salt and Light Television to Windsor. It will be functioning out of Assumption University. We will cooperate with the Department of the New Evangelization. We will provide the technical and practical and how would you call it, co-op component. And to be associated with a Catholic university, it would seem to me to fulfill so many of the desires of the recent Synod of Bishops about theology and social communications and young people and the new evangelization. So that's our goal for the next 10 years.
And Father, before I let you go, we've spoken about past and the future of Salt and Light and your work in the new evangelization. You've also mentioned some of the celebration activities that you're doing for Salt and Light. Can you tell us a little bit about how you're celebrating this great 10-year anniversary?
I certainly can. In fact, we launched that the first of the whole year of celebration will be this evening, December the 6th, Little Christmas for some people. And I've invited the priests of Ireland, that wonderful trio of the three priests, to come to Toronto, especially for this. They're great friends of mine. And we have our first concert with them this evening in the Kerner Concert Hall at the TELUS Center for the Performing Arts. The concert sold out immediately. Over 1,000 people will be there. I could think of no better way to celebrate new life than inviting priests from Ireland. We stand in close solidarity with the church in Ireland. Perhaps the most moving project that we covered in our 10 years was the Eucharistic Congress in Dublin this past June, not because of the size or the magnitude or the glitz and glitter, but because of the profound power for transformation and healing. And I could think of no better way to celebrate our 10 years than to invite the priests from Ireland to come. So they're here with us now. They arrived yesterday. We had a great visit in the studios. And tonight they will perform in a wonderful concert. It's going to be live streamed. We're also going to televise it. Then I travel with the priests the following day, Friday the 7th, to Windsor. And they're performing before another crowd of 1,000 people to celebrate the presence of Salt and Light and also the beauty of the church, especially the beauty of the Irish church. So those are our first two things, and we have many other activities planned, which I will certainly keep you informed about.